Hi, I'm Jules, and in this video, we're going to look at the Stone Soup Virtual Cookery School technique of cooking with herbs. And this is part one of two videos. So here's what you'll discover in this video. First, we'll look at what are herbs, just in case you don't know. Then we'll look at what I consider to be my essential herbs. Then we'll also have a look at the kind of nice to have herbs. And finally, we'll look at how to store your herbs. So what are herbs? So herbs are basically plants that are valued for their flavor and aroma, not just their nutritional properties. So if you think of the difference between basil, which is, you know, smells amazing, and just, you know, some lettuce leaves, that's kind of a good way to give you an idea. So examples of herbs include parsley, basil, cilantro, as we call it in Australia, coriander leaf, thyme, and rosemary. So essential herbs. So before we get into these, just, you know, this is really down to personal preference. There's no hard and fast rules here. So these are just the essentials that I consider for my style of cooking, and they're the things that I use all the time, but they won't be for everyone. So just use it as a starting point and to give you ideas. But, you know, if you have a herb that you're already using and you love all the time, you know, that's your essential herb, one of your essential herbs. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So first we have parsley. So I love the freshness of parsley. I prefer flat leaf parsley for its milder flavor to that of curly parsley. I also like the look of it better. Parsley is very versatile and used in a variety of cuisines from Mediterranean to the Middle East. It's commonly finely chopped and used as a garnish or to add freshness at the last minute. So that I often use the leaves like a salad leaf. Then we have basil. So it's hard to imagine life without basil with its wonderfully unique, pungent fragrance. The Italians know how to get the most out of basil with their pesto. The leaves can be used almost anywhere tomato appears, but it also goes well with things like lemon and fresh cheese. Basil is also widely used in Thai food. While Thai basil does have a slightly different flavor profile in it and the leaves look different, I've happily substituted Italian basil in my green curry and had, you know, excellent results. So don't get too caught up in trying to track down Thai basil if you can't find it. Coriander or cilantro, depending on where you live. It's a tricky herb because the seeds are also used in cooking as a spice. So I love coriander, but I know plenty of people who find it, its intense fragrance, quite offensive, so people can be very sensitive to it. So if I'm cooking for someone who doesn't like coriander, I usually substitute in fresh mint. We'll talk more about substitutions in a later video. So coriander is commonly associated with Asian cooking, but it's also an integral part of Mexican cuisine. While the leaves are the most frequently used part, the stalks are also delicious and the roots can be used in curry paste, so it's pretty versatile. A good trick to telling the difference between flat leaf parsley and coriander, because their leaves can look quite similar, is that the latter, so coriander, is usually sold with the roots attached, whereas flat leaf parsley is usually chopped off at the bottom. Then my next essential herb are chives. So chives look like tall cylindrical blades of grass that have become one of my favorite herbs since I've been getting into more minimalist 10-minute cooking, so the last few years. A lot of my recipes started with, you know, cooking down an onion, which, you know, usually takes at least 10 minutes. So these days I'm more likely to skip the onion, save myself 10 minutes and just add chopped chives either during the cooking process or just when I'm serving to give me that oniony complex flavor without taking the extra time. So you can cook chives, but I tend to think they're best when they're fresh, added at the last minute. I love them chopped over scrambled eggs, really lovely. Then our next essential herb is thyme. So there's something about the delicate floral aroma of thyme that I just adore. If you were to make me choose my favorite herb, it probably would have to choose thyme. The small leaves can be used both fresh or cooked. And I love thyme in stews to add fragrance to things as they slowly simmer away. It can also be lovely to scatter the leaves over some fresh cheese or a salad. So I find thyme to be super versatile, adding fragrance to everything from roast potatoes to chicken to tomatoes to lamb and egg dishes. And then finally, in my essential herbs, we have rosemary. So I love the piney fragrance of rosemary and the fact that it's pretty low maintenance to grow. The thick, even in my the cold climate where I live. The thick needle-like leaves are best when they are cooked, I think, or very finely chopped if you're going to be using them raw. It's one of my all-time favorite pizza toppings, and there's a recipe below this video. It's just very thin, it's rosemary with very thinly sliced potatoes and garlic. So beautiful, beautiful pizza. Rosemary can be pretty much used anywhere you would use thyme, and it even tastes, rosemary and thyme can even complement themselves. And I also love using thicker stalks of rosemary now that I have them in my garden as skewers for kebabs because they tend not to burn and they look really pretty. So rosemary goes really well with lamb and beef, but you know, it's potatoes, of course. So then we'll move on to nice to have herbs. So again, you know, this is just, you know, a matter of personal taste and just to give you an idea of kind of how I classify my herbs in my kitchen, but it's really, you know, a starting point. So dill, I love the fresh aniseedy flavor of dill. And then it looks like a little bit like a mini pine tree. It's very pretty. The leaves are commonly finely chopped and used with smoked fish, eggs, or potatoes. For me, it's more of a Northern European, Scandinavian herb, and something that works best on its own. It can be quite overpowering, so I tend to use it sparingly. Tarragon, we skipped one there. Tarragon is, of the three common types of tarragon, French is considered to have the best flavor over Mexican tarragon and Russian tarragon. So if you're looking to plant some, try and track down the French. It's also a member of the aniseed family and it's best teamed with delicate foods. I like to make my own tarragon vinegar, although I haven't done this for quite a while, by shoving a bunch of tarragon in a bottle of white wine vinegar, cheap wine vinegar, and allowing it to infuse. The classic use of tarragon is with roast chicken, either in the stuffing or as a flavoring for butter or a creamy sauce, but it's also delicious with fish and kind of anything kind of creamy. It's also used pretty much a lot in Mexican cooking. So next we have sage, and as much as I'm tempted to include sage in my essentials, I had to draw the line somewhere. So although I do have a couple of sage plants in my garden that I grow as much for their pretty blue flowers as their flavor, sage is best when it's cooked. I find the raw leaves too thick and furry, and but I love it when it's pan fried in butter until crisp and served with ravioli or gnocchi. It makes a great contrast to the sweetness of roast pumpkin, and I love it roasted with chicken or pork as an alternative to thyme. Also goes very well with potatoes. Then we have oregano. So until I started making chimichurri, the Argentinian sauce that goes so well with barbecued meat, I didn't use oregano very often. But now I have a few different types planted in my garden for when the urge to make chimichurri strikes. If you're interested in getting into chimichurri, it's really easy to make and really delicious. The fresh herb sauce recipe down below is kind of a general chimichurri recipe, so it's a great, great starting place. And then we have marjoram, which my mum used to grow marjoram and oregano together in the garden, and I could never tell which one was which. They're very similar. So sometimes I'd use marjoram, and at other times it would be oregano, and I don't remember any, you know, culinary catastrophes. So I really use it now that my mum's garden isn't around anymore, but if you happen to have it, think about it in the same way that you'd use oregano. And I skipped over, I didn't have a bullet point, but I also wanted to include chervil, which it's a herb that isn't that commonly sold. The leaves look like a very delicate version of flat-leaf parsley. And the flavor is kind of a really mild, aniseedy, parsley, fresh kind of flavor, kind of how you'd imagine a cross between dill and parsley to taste. It's used in French cooking a lot and tends to work best with delicate flavors like eggs, fish, and soft cheeses. So moving on. So how to store your herbs. So I find best to avoid contact with water. So I've tried putting, you know, a bunch of herbs in a glass of water and they haven't lasted anywhere near as long. So what I find is best to do is, this is particularly for the leafy herbs, is to take them out of the paper or what, plastic or whatever they come in, wrap them in paper towels so that it can soak up any extra moisture, and pop them in a plastic bag to prevent them dehydrating and drying out. And that will keep, they'll keep longest in that way. Then woody herbs like rosemary, thyme, and sage can be frozen. And I often just, you know, if I've got any extra, I just pop them in a little plastic bag and stick them in the freezer. And you can freeze leafy herbs as well if you've got a heap of them, but they tend to wilt. So if you're using them when they're defrosted, they're going to be all wilted. So they're not going to be nice for things like when you're using them in salads or tabbouleh or something like that. But you can, if you're going to be cooking them into a sauce or anywhere where they would have wilted down anyway, then that's fine. So if I do have a glut of leafy herbs, at the moment I've actually got a heap of basil. I'm very, very lucky in the garden. My first stop is to make a few big batches of pesto, you know, put it into sterilized jars, keep it in the fridge. It'll keep for a month or so. Or I make some herb oil, and that's if I'm, you know, really lazy and couldn't be bothered finding pine nuts and all the things you need for making pesto. And for the herb oil, I'll just wash the leaves, dry them, and then layer them in a sterilized jar with salt and a good quality extra virgin olive oil. And that way they'll keep for like months and months in the fridge. So that's a few different options there. So what's up next? Next we'll be looking at video number two, which part two of our Cooking with Herbs video series. So, hi, I'm Jules, and in this video we're going to be looking at the Stone Soup Virtual Cookery School technique of cooking with herbs, and this is part two, the final part in our series on cooking with herbs. So here's what you'll discover in this video. First we'll look at how to prepare and use herbs, very important. Then we'll look at substituting herbs to give you ideas of good ways that if you don't have one particular herb, you can use another one. Then we'll look at cooking with dried herbs, which could be a bit controversial. And finally, we'll delve into the world of growing your own herbs. So first, how to prepare and use herbs. So I tend to, in an ideal world, prepare leafy herbs in the same way that I would use salad leaves. So pick the leaves, put them in my salad spinner, give them a good rinse, and then dry them. But if any of you have seen my videos, I often take the cheats way of just getting the bunch, rinsing it under water, and then patting it dry with paper towel. So that's when I'm feeling lazy, that's often my go-to way. But they do look much nicer if you take the time to prepare them as you would for salad leaves. So when you're cooking with herbs, for most herbs, you only use the leaves. So at some point you need to pick the leaves off the stalks. There's a couple of exceptions there. So I find that flat-leaf parsley, the stalks are actually quite lovely and have a really great freshness. So I tend to chop them finely and just throw them in with the leaves wherever I'm using them, so I don't waste them. And coriander or cilantro, the stalks, they tend to also be quite soft and quite similar to the leaves. So again, I just, you know, chop them finely and use them in with the leaves. So the tearing versus chopping question. So you may read numerous times in different cookbooks that, you know, when you're working with basil in particular, that you should be tearing it rather than chopping it. And I've done some experiments myself and I really couldn't tell a difference in the flavor. So I make my decision whether I, you know, tear my herbs or chop them just in the mood I'm feeling with and how I want them to look on the finished dish. So if I want them to be rustic and chunky, I'll go down the tearing path. If I want them to be more fine and more elegant, then I tend to chop. Okay, so now we'll look at substituting herbs. So in my mind, there are a few different pairings of herbs. So this is how I kind of like to think about it, where one or the other can be used almost interchangeably. So the end result will taste different, but not necessarily any better or any worse. So I'm going to go through my kind of pairs of herbs. So parsley and mint. So both these herbs give leafy freshness. So I tend to think of them as interchangeable. You could easily use a bunch of mint in tabbouleh or any of the salads below that are calling for instead of parsley and vice versa. Basil and coriander. So this is a little bit more risky, but it can work well. I've happily used a handful of either to add fragrance to a Thai green curry or for leafiness in a salad. Coriander coriander pesto can be lovely, although it's completely different beast to regular basil pesto, so it does taste quite different. For dishes that are more Mediterranean, this swap is less likely to work, so be careful. The other herb I'd throw in there is basil and parsley, but we'll probably go into that a bit later. And then in some instance, when you're looking for an alternative to basil, you know, thyme or rosemary can be a good substitute in, for example, if you're looking for just a bit of fragrance to add to a tomato-based pizza. So our next pairing is thyme and rosemary. So I can't think of a dish where you wouldn't be able to swap thyme and rosemary. The flavour will be different, but it's equally lovely. Sage and rosemary, again, sage is in a pretty similar spectrum, so I kind of would be almost happy to use any three of those interchangeably. Fresh oregano and basil. So for tomato-based dishes, you know, you can use either or, they'll work well. I can't imagine an oregano pesto, but, you know, maybe I haven't tried it, so maybe it would be good. And then we have dried oregano and then combined with either rosemary or thyme. So dried oregano is much more pungent and fresh, more pungent than fresh oregano, but it has a similar range to rosemary or thyme, so you could use it in similar circumstances. Chives and garlic chives, bit of a no-brainer really, you know, they're pretty interchangeable, just one will give you more garlicky flavour, no prizes for guessing which. And then chives and parsley. So when chives and parsley are being used for colour and freshness, they can be used interchangeably. So if they're just, you know, to add a splash of colour on the top of a dish. But when you're using parsley as a substantial leaf, like in tabbouleh or as a leafy salad, the chives wouldn't be best unless you're a fan of onion broth, because too much chives would overtake. So I hope that kind of made sense. So now we'll move on to cooking with dried herbs. So in a word, don't. I'm quite opinionated about this. And you know, my mum used to have little bottles of dried basil in the cupboard, and it just smelled like musty kind of dirt. It didn't really add any of the – it's completely different beast to fresh basil. But, of course, there are some exceptions to cooking with dried herbs and my rule of not using them. So dried oregano, so I have used dried oregano occasionally with tomato or lamb, and in Argentina, in chimichurri, the herb sauce I mentioned earlier, often they'll use dried oregano, but I think fresh works much better in that instance. So yeah, it's really, sometimes you can get away with it, but not very often. Dried mint, so it's another exception, dried mint's actually used a lot in Middle Eastern cooking, and it's completely different to fresh mint, but it adds something like a kind of another dimension. So it's a really quite an intense mintiness, and it doesn't tend to have that dustiness that you get with dried basil or dried parsley. So it can be really lovely, and it's kind of like the difference, you know, using dried mint and fresh mint. It's kind of, you know, they're almost two separate ingredients. So it's kind of like using fresh tuna and canned tuna. You know, each has its place in the world, but, you know, they are quite different, even though they come from the same source. And then finally, the other exception is dried bay leaves. So they can be okay, particularly if they're being added to stews or something that's going to be simmering for a long time. But I have a bay leaf tree, and I tell you, the fresh bay leaves are so much nicer. So if you get a choice, there we go. Okay, and now our final section, we'll look at growing your own herbs. So one of the greatest things about growing your herbs is that it saves you a lot of money. So, you know, you can pay, you know, $2 or $3 for a little pack of a couple of sprigs of rosemary, and that can get quite expensive. So I really recommend thinking about how you could set yourself up to grow just a couple of herbs. And it's also, you know, the side benefit is that it's really rewarding, and it's nice to have a little plant that you're actually growing for more than just its beauty. So I'd recommend, if you hadn't grown any herbs before, to start with woody herbs like rosemary, thyme, and sage, because they're really forgiving. I'd probably even throw oregano in there, and because they're happy to go without water for a while. So they're kind of the dry Mediterranean herbs that don't need a lot of love. When I kind of first started growing herbs, those were the ones that I had the most success with. If you do have more space, you know, consider growing a bay leaf tree. I've had one in a pot for 16 or 17 years now, and it's, you know, it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. They'll last for ages. But also, you know, if you have a little bit more space, you can have like bigger pots or a little garden bed. Then things like parsley, mint, and basil can be great, particularly in the summer months. Parsley and mint can survive the winter even here in the snowy mountains where it gets pretty cold. We get a lot of frosts, but basil's a summer only thing for us. So I haven't had much luck with coriander or cilantro. Also, I've tried chervil and dill and haven't had much luck with them, but maybe you will. So don't let my bad gardening karma taint you. So most herbs like growing in pots, so no matter how small your space, you should be able to grow something. But you know, it's up to you to give it a go, and it doesn't cost that much to grab a plant and get started. So now we have some action steps. So first, I'd like you to review the recipes below this video. I've just included a dozen or so of my favorite herb-based recipes from the Stone Soup Birch Cookery School, just to get you thinking about cooking with herbs and using them more often. Then next time you're out shopping, I really encourage you to buy a herb that you haven't tried before. And then, of course, is the trick is to actually use your new herb. So you might like to, when you've bought your herb and you know what you've got, come back and just do a search on the Stone Soup Virtual Cookery School site for that herb and find some recipes where you can use it, or, you know, Google it up. You know, just get creative and give it a go. Or if you have a look through here, you might get some ideas from reviewing what I've said about that particular herb. And then finally, the last action step is just to think about how you could grow at least one herb. Of course, if you've already got a massive garden, you know, you go to the top of the class. No need to do that. But if you're not growing anything at the moment, like, really consider just one little pot that you can look after and use little bits from it from time to time. It'll be well worth your effort. And that's it.